Rachel Held Evans, who some of you may know, is a American Christian columnist, blogger, and author. She once wrote these words, "Jesus said his Father's house has many rooms." In this metaphor, I like to imagine the Presbyterians hanging out in the library, the Baptists running the kitchen, the Anglicans setting the table, the Anabaptists washing the feet with a hose in the backyard, the Lutherans making liturgy for the laundry, the Methodists stoking the fire in the hearth, the Catholics keeping the family history, the Pentecostals throwing open all the windows and doors to let more people in. Pentecostal. Pentecost. Isn't that what happened on Pentecost? Didn't God throw open all the doors and windows to let more people in into his love? Because if you really read the Pentecost story in Acts, it says there was a violent wind that filled the house. Not a nice, gentle spring breeze, but a violent wind that blew so hard that I like to imagine that that's exactly what it did. It blew open all the doors and the windows. Because you see, on that very day, even though according to scripture there were 120 believers in Jesus in a room, in an upper room, that must have been a really big house, that had been gathered after Jesus' death and resurrection, and they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. They were all in one room, but they were still in Jerusalem. And Pentecost is not, it is a Christian holiday, but it is also a Jewish festival and has been ever since time immemorial, more or less. It may have even been a Pentecost, it may have even been a pagan festival first. So all of the Jews, that's why all of the Jews from all of the countries under heaven were in Jerusalem, but they were outside this room. So when this wind came and blew everything, they all heard it. And they wondered, what was that? And the apostles, and the women, there were women with the apostles, 120 people, tongues of fire on their head. That room got hot mighty fast, don't you think? If we have, 10, 20 candles up here on our altar table, it gets warm up here. So what did they do? The windows and the doors blew open and out they walked. Out all the apostles walked, even the women, because they had been filled with the Holy Spirit and the Spirit gave them the ability to share the good news of Jesus Christ in tongues that everyone understood. The Spirit gave them that ability. What would happen if we believed that the Spirit gives us the ability to share the good news? Forgot where I was going. So now, what were they sharing besides the good news? I'm sorry, I got lost there for a minute. What were they sharing besides the good news? And what was this good news? They were sharing God's deeds of power. What were those deeds of power? And what were those deeds, those, you know, when Philip in John is asking, show us the Father, and Jesus is saying, look, you've seen all the works. You don't need to see the Father. You see the Father through his works. What were those works? What were those deeds of power? Well, what more can you do than heal a man who's been blind from birth? Then cast out a bad spirit? Then feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish? What more can you do than that? How much more powerful can you be than changing water into wine? All of those deeds of power were what the apostles were sharing in their own language of all the people that were around them. So what were the apostles going to do? How were they even able to do the greater works than what Jesus had done? Because after all, those works came from God the Father, God the Parent. I have a hard time with that. I keep listening to the words of Scripture, and I keep hearing Father, and I know God, the Creator, is Creator and non-gendered, and I know that. So please excuse me if I use the word Father, but many of you grew up in that age. This is one of our deeds of power, too, to remember, to show people that we can change. We can change our language. But anyway, that's an aside, so I will try to remember that. What I'm thinking here is I'm looking back at this God that is God the Creator and God the Son and God the Spirit, and thinking, are we going to be filled with all three of those? Remember, Jesus said, God Creator abides in me, and I abide in the Creator. And the Holy Spirit had been with Jesus since his baptism. The Holy Spirit and Jesus, according to Scripture, had been with God the Creator ever since the beginning. So what does it mean to abide with each other? What does it mean? We say it too. For the Word of God in Scripture, for the Word of God among us, and for the Word of God within us, thanks be to God. What does that mean to have the Word of God, to have God, the Spirit, abiding in us? Well, this is the way I like to think of it, and this is why I've named this sermon The Invitation to the Dance, because next week we're going to talk about the dance. We're going to talk about the Trinity, God Creator, Son Redeemer, Holy Spirit Guide, and how they work together. But today is an invitation to dance. Today God has said, as Jesus said to his disciples, I will give you, my Father will give you the Holy Spirit. Will fill you with the Holy Spirit to abide in you and to give you the ability to do those greater works. But you have Creator, Son, Spirit. We think of them as one, three persons in one. And that is a mystery that I'm not sure I could ever fully understand. But to me, it's a dance. And that's why this is your invitation to the dance. It is God, Son, Spirit. While each of them have certain roles to do, they cannot do their roles. They cannot perform their roles unless they're together and abiding in each other. They can't do it alone. To me, it's a dance. It's a mystery, but it's a fascinating mystery to think about this three-in-one God dancing around our world and then coming to us and saying, I want you, we want you to be a part of our dance with us. We want to be able to give you the ability to be a disciple of Jesus, a disciple of this three-in-one God. Come dance with us. So when we go back and look at what Rachel Held Evans said in her metaphor, there were Presbyterians hanging in the library and Baptists in the kitchen. Methodists or something, what? That's not right. Anglicans setting the table, Anabaptists washing feet, Lutherans making liturgy, Methodists stocking the fire in the hearth, Catholics keeping the family history, and Pentecostals throwing open the windows and the doors to let more people in. I don't think she meant to leave out the UCC, so let's join that dance. They are doing together just by living in a community, living together and doing the works they were doing. They were dancing together. They may not have known it, but the Methodists and the Episcopalians or the Anglicans, and they're all dancing together in this faith we call Christianity. They are creating community, and each one of those people is needed. We have some folks in our congregation today who have made this program for this afternoon. We have some folks who have set up some food for us so that we don't starve to death between service and our discussion this afternoon. We have people who sang in our worship service this morning or played the piano. So we can do all this. We can create this beautiful dancing community on earth. We don't have to wait till heaven to do that, because we can do this now. Today, through the gift of the Holy Spirit, God, this three-in-one God, is inviting us to the dance. Whether it be a waltz, a tango, a rumba, the twist, maybe. Maybe you can square dance. Maybe you can do hip-hop. Maybe some of you can even break dance. No matter what, I invite you to come to dance with God. Will you send your RSVP? Will you tell God, yes, we will dance with you, and you will fill us with your Holy Spirit, and we will do greater works to build the beloved community. Amen.